60. To love human beings for God's sake. So far, that has been the most noble and most remote feeling that has been attained among men. The fact that without some consecrating intention behind it, the love of human beings is one more stupidity and brutishness, that the inclination to this love of humanity must first derive its extent, delicacy, its grains of salt and specks of ambergris from some higher inclination. Whatever human being it happened to be who first felt and experienced this, no matter how much his tongue may have stumbled as it tried to express such a delicacy, let him remain for all time sanctified among us and worthy of reverence as the man who so far has flown the highest and has lost his way most beautifully. 61. The philosopher, the way we understand him, we free spirits, as the man of the most all-encompassing responsibility, who has the conscience for the collective development of human beings, this philosopher will help himself to religion for use in his work of cultivation and education, just as he will use contemporary political and economic conditions. The selective and cultivating influence, which means always both the destructive as well as the creative and shaping influence, which can be practiced with the help of religions, is something multifaceted and different, according to the type of human beings who are put under its spell and protection. For strong, independent people, those prepared and predestined to command, those in whom the reason and culture of a ruling race become something living, religion is one more means of overcoming resistance, so that they will be able to rule. It's like a bond which ties ruler and subjects together in common, and betrays and hands over to the former the consciences of the latter, something hidden in their innermost selves, which would like to evade obedience. And in the event a few individual natures of such noble descent, because of their high-mindedness, feel drawn towards a more secluded and more peaceful life, and reserve for themselves only the most refined form of ruling, over some chosen disciples or brethren in some order, then religion itself can be used as a means to create some peace for oneself from the noise and hardship of the cruder forms of ruling, and cleanliness from the dirt which necessarily comes with all political action. That's something the Brahmin, for example, understood. With the help of a religious organization, they arrogated to themselves the power to appoint a king for the people, while they held themselves apart and outside, sensing that they were human beings with higher purposes, something beyond kingship. Meanwhile, religion also provides instruction for some of the ruled, and an opportunity to prepare themselves for ruling and obeying in future, those slowly ascending classes and groups, that is, those in which, because of fortunate marriage traditions, the force and desire of the will to rule oneself, is always rising. To these people religion offers sufficient stimuli and temptations to travel the route to a higher spirituality, to test the feelings of great self-conquest, of silence and solitude. Asceticism and Puritanism are almost indispensable means for educating and ennobling people when a race wishes to become master of its origins from the rabble and works its way up towards future ruling power. Finally, for ordinary people, the vast majority, who are there to serve for common needs and may exist only to that extent, religion gives an invaluable modest satisfaction with their situation and type, all sorts of peace at heart, an ennoblement of obedience, one more source of joy and suffering with people like them, and something of a transfiguration and beautification of, and a justification for the whole routine, the whole baseness, the whole half-animal poverty of their souls. Religion and the religious significance of life bring the brilliance of the sun onto such constantly troubled men, and make it bearable for them to look at themselves. Religion works just as an Epicurean philosophy usually works on suffering people of a higher rank, refreshing and refining and, as it were, exploiting the suffering, finally even blessing and justifying it. In Christianity and Buddhism, There is perhaps nothing so venerable as their art of teaching even the most abject people to place themselves, through their piety, into an illusory higher order of things, and thus to hang on to their satisfaction with the real order, in the middle of which their life is hard enough. And this hardness is precisely what's necessary.